share with them some spiritual truth so that they will be established. But he would really rather be there with them together. And then he also says that he wants to be there to be encouraged together with them. In verse 12, he says that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. And so he wants just to have fellowship with them. He wants to be able to share some truth with them. He wants to be able to fellowship with them. And their faith, both yours and mine, would be an encouragement to one another. Let me just stop right there for just a second. Why do you look forward to being with your church family? Why is it that you look forward to visiting in person with your church family? We go all week long and we work all week long and Sunday's coming. My prayer is that, you know what? Our time together, when we're here on Sunday mornings, when we're together, we ought to really look forward to that. Why? Because our fellowship together, that my faith with yours, man, is a huge mutual encouragement. We ought to be strengthened by our time together. Is there, as we go to Sunday school and here during this time as a worship service, is there truth that helps us to be more established? Absolutely. And we're going to spend time in God's Word every time we meet together just like this. But you know what? There's also the mutual encouragement that we get from being together. And my prayer is that the Lord would really use every Sunday, that really is my prayer, that the Lord would use our time together to encourage us. So he says that he wants to be together with them in Rome personally for the mutual encouragement. But then there is a second reason that Paul mentions that he wants to be personally in Rome. He says in verse 13, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I plan to come to you so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Paul says, listen, he says, I want you to know that while I intend to be encouraged by the fellowship that we enjoy, he said, I can't wait to get to Rome because I want to see some fruit in Rome as well. Meaning, when he says, I want to obtain some fruit, meaning he wants to preach the gospel in the streets of Rome and he wants to see people come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to see new souls saved in Rome. And he wants to see people come to Christ and he wants to preach the gospel there. Now, that's an interesting comment. Why isn't it enough that Paul would just come and encourage the church in Rome? Why couldn't Paul just come and just be an encouragement to the church and establish the church and encourage the church with his presence? Why does he feel like he needs to go and preach the gospel to unbelievers? Why is that important? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, most of us have been in church a long time here. We know that that's important. Yeah, but why? Why is it important? Do you know why? You can agree that, yes, the gospel is important. You can agree that missions is important. You can agree that, yes, I want to support missions. We're going to talk about the International Mission Board. And, yes, I'm so thankful for the Southern Baptist International Mission Board and so thankful for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Yes, we need to preach the gospel to people that haven't heard the gospel before. We need to live, we need to be Jesus to the people that we're around. And yes, we know that that's important. Why though? Why is it that important? Why do we focus on that? Really, we ought to focus on it all year long, and I take that as some of my responsibility as well, to kind of bring more of a focus to that all year long. We get to watch, and I want to show you, before we walk through it, I want to show you what it is we're going to see. We get to listen to the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist and missionary that probably has ever lived in 2,000 years of Christian history. We get to listen to him explain why the gospel is so important to him. And I want you to notice that in the verses that we're going to read this morning, he doesn't even talk about the lost. He doesn't even talk about the state of the lost. Now, he's going to get to that, and we're going to look at that next week when we get past verse 17. But from verse 14 through verses 17, the Apostle Paul describes the importance of the gospel just for the gospel's sake. Not even has nothing, what he's getting ready to say is not about lost people. It simply is just the gospel. What is missions? What is the gospel? Why is it a priority for us as believers? Man, this is good. We need this. And I want to show you, I want to bring it around because it has some implications for our own heart as well. Look at what he says. Here it is, verse 14. He says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. Paul, why do you want to preach the gospel? Why is the gospel so important? Paul says, because I'm under obligation. Paul says, I don't have a choice. Go back to the first verse, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And he says, I am a bondservant. That's the New American Standard. Really, if you're reading the NIV, it probably just says servant. That word is not servant. That word is slave. That's what it is. Paul says, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And he means everything that word means. We don't like to use that word in our culture. We certainly really wouldn't like to apply it to our lives. But Paul says, that's who I am. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. I am owned by a master, and I do his bidding and not mine. And so Paul says, I'm under obligation. This is what I have been given to do. He says, I've got to preach the gospel. I want you to think for just a second. This time of the year, you have probably seen some ads on the internet and maybe even some ads on TV, but folks like FedEx and UPS, they start hiring a bunch of seasonal workers this time of the year. Do you know why? Because they have a whole lot of extra packages to deliver. And so these guys are going to be hired. They're going to be given a road test, and they get their CDL, and they're given a truck, probably a couple of them on the truck. And in the morning, they're given a ticket list, and so they grab all of their deliveries for the day. And then when they set out on the road with this truck full of packages, what are they obligated to do? Deliver the packages, right? They don't have the choice to say, you know what, some of these packages I'd like to keep for myself. This one looks pretty good. No, they're obligated to deliver the package. In the same way that a delivery truck driver is obligated to deliver the package, Paul says, I am under obligation. I have been given the gospel, and I don't have a choice of whether I deliver it or not. I've got to. Now, let's just take that for a second. And the Holy Spirit is writing this down for us because I believe that every Christian has the same obligation. Now, we're not necessarily called to the same places that the Apostle Paul was. You cannot read this and say that every single one of us is called to go preach the gospel on the streets of Rome. Now, it might be that the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart right now saying, you need to go to Rome and preach the gospel. And if that is where he is leading you to go, then you need to go. But it might be that he is leading you to go to work tomorrow morning and be the gospel right there in your work. In fact, I would say, I think we can read from this passage that every Christian, wherever it is that God has put you, there is an obligation to share the gospel. By the way, what is missions? Let's just take a parenthesis for just a second. When we talk about missions, what do we mean by that word? Let me tell you, a lot of times within church culture, the word missions tends to mean humanitarian aid, that we go and we do a construction project, or missions means, and listen, I'm not saying these are bad things. Missions means we fill a shoebox up with some really cool stuff and send it to kids all over the world so that they can have a Merry Christmas. Is that what missions is? Missions, the word missions, has got to mean sharing the gospel with the lost. That's what missions is. Missions is the gospel. Now, sometimes do you need to go and show the love of God in order to show the God of love? Yes, so you go and you carry a shoebox to a child with lots of cool stuff inside. And this is what Samaritan's Purse does. We saw it in the video. The shoebox is really just an open door to share what they're really there for, the gospel. Missions is the gospel. Why? Because we're under obligation. We don't have a choice. If God has put you there, then He's put you there to share the gospel with the people around you. Now, do we want to do that in a relational way? Absolutely. But listen, if you're a delivery truck driver, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has been convicting me this week myself. What if you were a delivery truck driver? You're a UPS guy, and you pull up in this person's house, and you think to yourself, you know, I'm gonna carry the package up to this person's door, but I'm gonna wait and see if they bring it up. I'm gonna wait and see if they ask me about the package. So you go to the knock knock, lady comes to the door. Oh, it's a UPS man. How are you today? I'm doing good. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Yes, we did. That's nice weather we got today. Well, this is a pretty house. Mowed your grass recently, didn't you? You got a dog? Oh, I like that dog, yeah. You know, I like this color on that. And you start talking about all of this stuff because in your mind you're thinking, I'm going to wait and see if they bring up the package. If they ask me about the package, well, I'll give it to them, but I'm going to wait and see if they bring it up. You never do that. If you are under obligation to deliver a package, you're not going to wait for somebody else to bring it up to you. You're going to deliver the package. The Apostle Paul says, I'm coming to Rome and I want to be an encouragement to you guys and I want to fellowship with you guys and that's why I want to come, but I also want to come to obtain some fruit among you. I want to come and preach the gospel in Rome because I want to see some fruit. I want to see some people come to know the Lord. And so he says, I'm under obligation. I don't have a choice. But then watch, the Apostle Paul says, this is not like a slave being made to do something he doesn't want to do, which is often how we kind of think about the idea of sharing the gospel with people. Oh, I know I should, but I don't really want to. Watch what he says. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This is not just an obligation to the Apostle Paul. It is, but he's eager to do it. There is within his heart this desire, this passion to share the gospel with people. There's this passion to see people who've never heard Jesus before come to hear the truth of what Christ has done for them. He's eager to preach the gospel. He's under obligation. He's got to. He can't get out of it, but he wants to. Why? Why in the world would somebody be eager to preach the gospel? What would make somebody be eager to preach? And this is, listen, this is super important for us. This is super important for us because I would be willing to bet if you are like me, and I'm confessing some things to you, it is easier for me. I'm just going to be transparent with you. It's easier for me to get up here and do this and to walk through a passage of Scripture with brothers and sisters in Christ than it is for me to talk to my neighbor about the gospel. It is. It just is. It's easier for me to do this than to do that, even though I know that God put me in that house because of the people around me. That's one of the reasons why He put me there. I really do believe that. But this is easier. So what would make somebody eager to preach the gospel? This is what I want to know. Here's the truth, the crux of what I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. What is it that would make somebody eager to preach the gospel? verse 16. He says, for, so here's why he's eager, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why is he eager? This is really convicting. Why is he eager to preach the gospel? The reason he is eager to preach the gospel is because he's not ashamed of it. Do you realize what he's saying? What he's saying is that the reason somebody would not be eager to preach the gospel is because you are ashamed of it. Why in the world would somebody be ashamed of the gospel? Paul would not say that if it were not a great temptation for Christians to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul would not have to even mention that if that weren't a struggle for us. But it is, isn't it? It would not be a struggle if there were not reasons why we would be ashamed of the gospel. Do you realize there are thousands of reasons to be ashamed of the gospel? Do you know what one is? I'll share more than one. Because he says the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. The gospel is a demonstration of God's power. The gospel is not a demonstration of man's intellectual ability. So then, the gospel is not something that you're going to share and people are going to say, oh man, that's ingenious. Every smart person would accept that. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? In fact, if you share that Jesus Christ came because all of y'all, and me included, are sinful, and because of your sin, you stand before a holy God condemned, and because God, though you were condemned, loved you, sent His Son, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died an innocent, horrible death, and rose from the grave of His own power, and is coming again to take us with Him. You share that with somebody, and they're going to go like this. Very possibly. And they are going to think thoughts of you that you will not enjoy knowing they think thoughts of you like that. I don't enjoy being looked at as if I was stupid. I don't like to be thought weird. But you know what? If there was ever anybody who had a reason to be ashamed of the gospel, it was the Apostle Paul. That guy wasn't just looked weird at. That guy was beaten and arrested and stoned. Everywhere he went, the gospel caused a riot in the town, and they ran the guy out of the town because he was preaching the gospel, because they didn't want to hear it. He had lots of reasons to be ashamed of the gospel. You will not make friends and influence people by sharing the gospel. You will not be elevated and people will think that your IQ is way up here because you share the gospel. It's not going to happen. Most likely you'll never be famous and popular by sharing the gospel. And we know that. We instinctively feel that. That it feels like I'm sticking my neck out to tell somebody about Jesus. And that's bad. And I am convicted by that. Because I feel that. But here's the Apostle Paul. He says, the reason I'm eager to share the gospel is because I'm not ashamed of it. And there are lots of reasons to be ashamed of it. At least selfish reasons. So then how do you overcome being ashamed of the gospel? How do you overcome being scared to share it because you're ashamed of how people might view you? Watch what he says. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Here's what he says. Listen, The reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel is because I know that within the truth that Jesus saves, within that truth lies the power of God, such that when I share it, there will be people that kind of go like this. But there will also be people that when you share the truth of the gospel, you watch them and they go, oh man. And you realize it's not a logical thing. It's not an intellectual IQ thing. It's not even a thing about whether or not I am a skilled presenter of the gospel. But it is the power of God. And you get to watch God's power save somebody when they believe. You know, there are a lot of places and things that we can watch the power of God. In fact, I was talking just a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to an obstetrician. In fact, he happens to be an obstetrician here in Lynchburg, and I was talking to him. And he just loves his job. He loves to be able to see new life come into the world. And you know what? When a baby being born is a miracle, y'all. It is a miracle. And it is the opportunity to see the power of God, something that man cannot do that. Only God can create new life. And he was just talking about it. He said it never gets old. He said that baby, every time there's a new baby, he said it's thrilling because it's a miracle. We get to watch that. You know what? When you see a sunrise, it was a beautiful sunrise this morning. And I love watching the sunrise. We have a window in our house that looks right to the sunrise. And I love watching the sunrise. And especially when you see it when there's no clouds or when there's some clouds that the Lord uses, and it is just a display of the power and the glory of God. That never gets old. And in fact, I look forward to a cup of coffee and a sunrise in my Bible. I do. I look forward to seeing that. The Apostle Paul says that the gospel is the power of God. And that never got old. He was always eager to see the power of God displayed in the life of a human. We talk about babies being born and new life. What if you got the opportunity to see a dead man rise from the dead? What if you could go to a place and watch corpses breathe new life and stand up? Boy, you would never get tired of watching that happen. And in fact, you would look forward to the next opportunity to see that happen. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The gospel is the power of God. It brings dead men to life. Whew. That's the gospel. And he says, so the reason that he's eager to preach the gospel is because he's not ashamed of the gospel. And he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God, and he gets to see that. And he's eager. He never gets old of that. He's eager to see the power of God. What does this power look like? How is the power of God displayed in the gospel? Verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. We don't get to see dead men rise from the dead. We don't get to see dead people come alive. I went to my grandfather's funeral last week. Dead people don't come alive. But what we do get to see in the gospel is we get to see a sinner born desperately wicked. And we get to see God take his righteousness, boom, such that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become what? The righteousness of God. We get to watch men and women who we know. They don't know the Lord. Look at their life. Look at what's part of their life. Look at their natural tendencies. Look at the ugliness that's coming out. Yeah, they're nice on the surface, but I know what's going on in their life. Look at this mess. And through the gospel, we get to see the power of God put in that life. And in that, in the place of the ugliness and the wickedness and the mess of sin, to put His righteousness there. You ever seen somebody's life changed? You ever see somebody who's living a life completely for themselves and then watch the Lord change them and grow them into somebody who lives for Him? That will never get old. That will never get old to you. The Apostle Paul says, I'm eager to preach the gospel. And the reason I'm eager to preach the gospel is because I'm not ashamed of it. There are reasons to be ashamed. Yeah, the last time I went and preached the gospel, I got beaten, thrown out of the city. But I'm eager to do it again. Why? Because it's the power of God. How is it the power of God? Because I get to see God put His righteousness in the life of somebody that didn't have it before. And I can't wait to see that again. Now again, listen, we're not all called to go to Rome like Paul was. The place may be different, but wherever it is that God has put us, whoever it is that God has put us around, man, long to share the gospel. That ought to be what the Lord is doing in our lives. Rather than being ashamed, there ought to be an eagerness there to see a life change, the power of God save one who believes. That's an incredible opportunity. There is an old hymn that I want to share with you this morning. It's an old hymn. Maybe some of y'all have heard this before. You don't see this hymn in hymn books anymore, but it's written by a guy named Joseph Grigg, written way back in 1765. It's an old one, and that's probably one of the reasons you don't see it as much anymore. But it's called, Jesus Shall It Ever Be. And listen to this. I love this. Joseph writes, Jesus, shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of Thee? Ashamed of Jesus, whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus? Soon or far, let night disown each radiant star. 'Tis midnight with my soul till He, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let morning blush to own the sun. He sheds His beams of light divine o'er this darkened soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend, no, when I blush, be this my shame, that I have not proclaimed His name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, when I've no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Savior slain, and oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. Father, God, I praise You for Your Son, Jesus. And God, I pray that You would convict us of being ashamed of the gospel, being ashamed to proclaim Your name, being ashamed to offer Your Son Jesus to those who so desperately need Him. God, I pray even in my own heart that You would place an eagerness an eagerness to share your Son and the salvation that He brings to those who so desperately need Him. God, we thank You for Your power that's displayed in the gospel. Thank You, Father, that You bring the dead to life. You put Your righteousness in sinful hearts when they trust You. Oh, Father, God, I pray that You would place within our hearts a priority, an obligation, an eagerness. God, thank You for what You've done in our hearts. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.